Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in God's house and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. A special welcome to those who may be new to St. John's, either here in the building or on the live stream. We're always pleased to have friends, old and new, join us via our electronic ministry. The announcements for this week have been before you. But just a reminder of a couple of things. Most notably, Bible study begins this week, and we will be looking at the book of Daniel this fall. So please plan on that. A book I've never done a Bible study on before, so that's going to be kind of fun. We look forward to that. And that'll be Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock in the lower hall here at the church. If you want to do some reading in advance for that, you can read the first couple of chapters, three-ish, maybe in Daniel. That's probably about as far as we'll get on the first week as we kind of do our introductory study of who Daniel was and what his ministry is. So that's this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. Next Sunday morning, during our regular worship, we will be celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion. So a reminder for our own people that we have a special service of worship next week. And for those who join us electronically, if you are around and you receive communion cups and have them delivered to you, or if you would like them, you can contact us here at the church and we will make sure that those get out to you. And for others, you can be preparing with your own little rice cracker or piece of bread or whatever it is that you require, and wine or grape juice for next week. So just so that people are prepared for that. During the season of Advent, our worship will be focusing on Mary, or at least that's the plan at this point. And part of our worship each week will include a dramatic monologue presented by Mary. And so we're looking for young women in the congregation who would be willing to take part by learning one of the monologues that we will use during the Advent season. And so if you would like to be part of that, please let us know, contact the church office or myself, and we will make sure you get the material in all kinds of time. Last week we started, there's a sign-up sheet, it's migrated its way across to the thoughts and wishes boxes this week, but it's still there. If you require prayer requests, or if you would like to have a prayer included in the Sunday morning worship, so public prayer, we ask that you sign up, provide us some information for that, and there's a sheet, as I say, resting on top of the thoughts and wishes box this morning. And finally, the sympathies of the congregation are expressed to David Cassidy on the death of Carol this earlier in the summer. And so we ask you to remember the Cassidy family in your prayers. We light the Christ candle this morning as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek to walk in his paths. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. We stand for the call to worship and the opening of our time together. Friends, God who rules the universe calls us. Christ who took up his cross calls us. The Holy Spirit who frees us body and soul calls us. Let us faithfully answer by worshiping the triune God. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Covenant God, you are our comfort and our strength. When anguish fills our days and doubts keep us awake at night, help us to remember your faithfulness shown in your mighty acts of ages past. Assured of your present power and constant love, revealed to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We open our worship this morning by singing hymn number 15 in the Book of Praise, "The Lord's My Light and Saving Strength." The hymn is in the hymn book or appears before you on the screen. Friends in Christ, the Spirit of the Lord fills the world and knows our every word and deed. Let us then open ourselves to the Lord and confess our sins in penitence and faith as we say together the prayer of confession as it appears before you. Generous God, you sent us the Spirit of courage, but we have been afraid. You send us the Spirit of truth, but we cling to our illusions. You send us the Spirit of healing, but we cannot let go of our hurts. Holy Spirit of forgiveness, come to us again. Shake our hearts, set our souls on fire with your love. Send us out into the world, rejoicing in your power. We hold out to you all our particular burdens of guilt and sin, and we ask for your help to follow in your pathways of justice and love. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ is our peace. Those who are divided, he has made one. He has broken down the barriers of separation by his death, and has built us up into one body with God. To all who repent and believe, he has promised reconciliation. So live as people who have been reconciled, and give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Once more, let us turn in praise as we sing hymn 339, "Who Made the Earth and the Heavens," 339 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. keep going to the wrong side of the pulpit. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service this morning and for this time spent with the young people. I'm a little shy on young people this morning up here, so hopefully there are a few at home. And, of course, it's for the young in heart, so that includes all of you. So thinking this week on a couple of different reasons that hymn kind of came about. It goes well, I think, with the Old Testament reading you're going to hear in a minute. But as I thought about that hymn, I thought about, you know, what are the things that make us all special or different? If I'm meeting somebody in a crowded place and it's for the first time, if I'm picking somebody strange up at an airport, I will tell them, you can't miss me. I have blonde hair. Does that sound right? Do you think you could pick me out in an airport if I gave you that one clue? It's kind of been a blessing and a curse through all of my life. The blonde hair, it blends into the background of the screen as the people at home are seeing right now. It's what I was teased about when I was in school for over a decade, of course, right? Because it was the thing that made me different. The interesting thing about it, of course, was that I'm probably the most well-known person in my high school graduating class. They may not know the name that my parents gave me in baptism, but they all know what they called me at school, which I'm not sharing with you. So there. So there's that. The other thing that I've decided over the years, being this blonde, is you will never know when I go gray. It will just happen seamlessly. And people will go, well, he's always had hair that color. In fact, I have a dear friend who I have known since, you know, I was Claire's age, probably, maybe even younger. And she reminds me that when I was younger, my hair was even lighter than this. So, right? But it's a good thing for us to remember that God makes each of us unique. Sometimes there's a great pressure to fit in, to be like everybody else. But that's not how we were created. We were created to be unique and to be special, and each one of us occupies a special place in the eyes of God. And so we celebrate our diversity, whatever it might be, whether it's the fact that and I'm sure some of our ladies who are in the kitchen every week, you know, their thing is they love to bake. And I love to eat baking. So it's a wonderful symbiotic relationship there. Or people who are athletic and have a skill for sports. I don't. I never figured out how to make my body move in either a swift or a graceful fashion. Sometimes all I can do to get up the stairs here. So all of those things. Each of us is given our own unique gift from God. And we celebrate our uniqueness as we also celebrate our unity as people of Christ. So that's our thoughts for this morning. I thank you for being young at heart and for listening. Let us have our prayer of illumination. Ever-present God, we have set this time apart from the chaos and confusion of this world, that we might listen to your word for us. In this time of silence, speak into our hearts your word for us today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19, reading verses 9b to 18. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the God, Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." And the responsive reading from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, Psalm 77, reading verses 1 to 14, and the words will appear on the screen. "I cry aloud to God, that he may hear me.
In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without weary. My soul refuses to be comforted.
I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints.
You keep my eyelids from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak.
I consider the days of old and remember the years of long ago.
I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and search my spirit.
Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable?
Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time?
Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion?
And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed.
I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old.
I will meditate on all your works and muse on your mighty deeds.
Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God?
You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples.
And from the New Testament, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain, these three, and the greatest of these is love.
Our next hymn is a new hymn. About a decade or so ago, the Christian Reformed Church, as part of their planning to release their new hymn book, also released a book entitled Psalms for All Seasons. And it's simply a collection of all of the Psalms of the Old Testament set to music. Now, some of the Psalms, as if you are a regular Psalm reader, you know, they're hard to set to music because they're not very happy Psalms. But there's at least one tune for every psalm, and for some there are many. This morning we're going to learn a new psalm, and this hymn is a setting of the psalm that you have just heard, Psalm 77. It begins with a refrain and then moves into the verse. So we'll learn the refrain this morning, and if you feel comfortable joining the choir as they sing the verses, please feel free to do so. I think you'll find once we get started that it's a pretty simple piece to pick up. But we will begin by learning the refrain for the hymn, We Will Remember, and the words will appear before you on the screen. So sing the refrain first, and then you will sing it the second time through. Sorry, that was the instruction I forgot to say. Sorry.
We will remember.
Stop and give you praise, for great is your faithfulness.
And we turn now to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 14, reading verses 18 to 20 and 25 to 29. Let us listen for God's word to his people. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are two things you need to know about Winnipeg, Manitoba. Well, there's probably more than two, but for my purposes this morning, two things. The first, you may well know, Portage Avenue runs east-west in the city of Winnipeg. It starts on the western edge of the city, and it runs to the downtown, where it intersects with Main Street and makes up the most famous intersection in all of Canada, Portage and Main. That's one. Two, Winnipeg is a prairie town, and so there's a lot of space. And as a result, the distance between traffic lights in Winnipeg and the crosswalks that you would find at a controlled intersection is great. And because of that, I would say Winnipeg is also the jaywalking capital of Canada. It's something you have to get used to, especially if you're walking with a native of Winnipeg, because they will look for an opening in the traffic and dart across the three lanes of one half of Portage Avenue to perch on this little 2-foot boulevard in the middle of the street while waiting for the gap for the traffic on the other side of Portage to come so they can continue their journey. Standing on the narrow strip of concrete in the middle of Portage Avenue, with traffic whizzing by before you and behind you in both directions, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But the boulevard in the center of Portage Avenue, I think, is an apt metaphor for life. There is something unsettling about being caught up in the middle, in between wherever you are, in between jobs, in between stages of life, in between old and new, wherever that might take you, there's always just that element of being afraid. Times like this are unsettling because we know that we will not be able to rely upon our experience from the past, and we have not yet learned the predictable patterns that will be defined by the future. And so we're stuck teetering in the middle. As we noted last week in the message, as we listened to Jesus as he began the farewell discourses, speaking to his disciples about their future life and his future mission and ministry, we noted that the disciples were teetering in a moment of change. They were troubled. Troubled by Jesus' prediction of what was going to transpire in the short term. Troubled that Jesus said he would suffer and die upon the cross, and that they would be left on their own. And this morning, continuing that farewell discourse, Jesus speaks of the longer term consequences of his death. That once he was gone, he would send another, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with and to lead the disciples, and that the ministry would become their ministry. But still, there's that moment of teetering, where Jesus will be gone and the Spirit will not yet have arrived. And they will be afraid. As much as these two passages from John chapter 14 might give comfort to us who live 2,000 years after the Christ event, for Jesus' disciples, sitting around that table with Jesus on that night, they were filled with anxiety and with fear. And as I was reading John chapter 14 last week and again this week, I began to wonder about those words. They appear in both halves of John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. They appear in both halves. A little study, and because of that, they caught my imagination, and so I did a little bit of studying about that word, troubled. That word appears in the entire Gospel of John 4 times. In the whole Gospel, just 4 times. And all of those references are in the last days of Jesus' life, from John chapter 12 onward to what we've read this morning, the last reference. So in just two chapters, every time the word troubled appears, it is spoken by Jesus. And each time he speaks it, he speaks it in this great moment in which God's plan for Jesus and his life is about to come to fruition. It seems clear that it is not only Jesus' prediction of his death that troubles the disciples, but that whenever we are presented with the inbreaking of God into our world to reveal God's will to us and to all, that we will be in some ways troubled. We are troubled and anxious because in these moments where God breaks in to do something new, we are forced to acknowledge that we're not in control anymore, that God is. The story of Elijah is one of my favorite Old Testament stories. As we heard read for us from 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning, and the story of Elijah. Elijah has been called by God Elijah's mission is to stand up against the king of Israel, King Ahab, who has married a Phoenician wife, Jezebel. And Jezebel sought to change the faith dynamic of the country of Israel. She sought to institute the worship of Baal in Israel, and for Baal to replace God the Lord, the one who had brought the people to that very place. As we join the reading, Elijah has been faithful. Elijah has done God's bidding, and yet Elijah is on the run. Elijah is in trouble. He is hiding from the king and the prophets of Baal because they have threatened his life. Elijah, in this story, wants a powerful God, a God who can defeat his enemies for him. Elijah wants a God who is manifest in great winds and in earthquakes and in firestorms that will rain down fire from heaven upon the earth. Right? That's what we hear. But in this reading, in which God shows forth all of those great acts of power, Elijah learns that God is in none of them. After all of the exhibition of great power and chaos, Scripture tells us that God makes himself manifest to Elijah in a gentle breeze, in a still, small voice. We live in times of great confusion, and with that great confusion comes great anxiety. Anxiety because we feel that we are not in control, both in our own personal and daily lives, but also in the life of our shared life as a worshiping community. Nothing seems like it did just 4 years ago, does it? Everything seems to have been upsought, and we're not quite sure where we're going. And that, friends, is the recipe for anxiety. It is the recipe for being troubled in mind and in spirit. What it means for each of us, we do not yet know. If you've talk to me about life in the church, I'll tell you, my new thing is we're writing history. This very day, we're writing history. We don't know what church is going to evolve into. We're wrestling with questions about what does it mean to be a church member? And how do we do church membership and church formation when so many people are out there virtually joining us and being part of our worship, but not building those bonds of community that for the last 2,000 years have been part of the church? How do we make that shift and that change? The Book of Forms, the guidelines and the rules of how we conduct meetings in the Presbyterian Church in Canada and order life within congregations, it has nothing about online worship or virtual communion. We were making it all up when COVID started in a very, very real way. If you talk to Dan, the moments of sheer terror that happened here at the front of this sanctuary in those first 6 weeks of COVID was just palpable sometimes. But we're here. We made it through. And we face a new future. And what it holds, we do not know. But we do know this. The great gift for us who are the church is that we know that God goes with us. We have the great good fortune that Jesus' first disciples in John chapter 14 did not have. We know the faithfulness of God. Like, because we have witnessed that God has been faithful to his people from time to time to time, from generation to generation to generation, through centuries and millennia. God is trustworthy and sure. And so, while we still may be anxious, there is comfort in those words. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Does not mean that they will not be. It does not mean that we need not venture forward boldly into the unknown, seeking to proclaim in new ways the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways that it makes sense to people all around us, and maybe even ourselves. There's a hymn in the Book of Praise written by a gentleman by the name of Fred Pratt Green. Now, Fred Pratt Green is a British hymn writer, and the hymn is entitled "The Church of Christ in Every Age." And the hymn reminds us that we who are the church stand on that little bit of concrete between the lanes of the whizzing traffic, between past and future, between fallen reality of this world and the grace-filled kingdom of our God. And it is ours to live within that tension. For it's in that tension that we are called to fulfill our ministry. The first verse of the hymn goes like this: "The Church of Christ in every age, beset by change but spirit-led, must claim and test its heritage and keep on rising from the dead." May we be a church that is spirit-led, connected to our heritage and our past, but not so weighed down by it that we cannot rise and continue in ministry, seeking in all things to embody the grace of Christ in all that we do. Thanks be to God. Amen. With thankfulness, we give in gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, we give in sacrifice and love. With hopefulness, we give in commitment to God. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Blessed are you, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your kingdom and for the service of for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be our God forever. Amen.
Let us once again join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, with reverence and awe, for before we were formed in the womb, you knew us. Before we were born, you consecrated us. You are a rock and haven to whom we can always turn. In times past, you appointed prophets and put your words in their mouths, appointing them over nations and kingdoms, to destroy wickedness and overthrow the rootless, and to build justice and to plant righteousness. But in these last days you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom every day is a sacred new day of freedom. You have appointed him as the mediator of a new covenant, in which we were brought to the city of the living God with the angels and saints and the faithful of every age, to rejoice together at the wonderful things you are doing. Through him, your loving word, you reach out to us, unbidden, and you touch us and set us free. We glorify your most holy name. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are part of our human family and part of the community in which we live. We pray for the little ones, for those who are seen as unimportant, for those who are lost, for those who grieve as ones with no hope, for those who hunger for the bread of heaven and thirst for the wine of forgiveness. Grant, we pray, that they may receive the vision they need from your hands and the encouragement that they long for. We pray for those who are afflicted in various ways, for the young woman with leukemia, for the father whose mind is assaulted by depression, and for all those whom we know who requires a blessing, be it physical, emotional, financial, or spiritual. Lord God, this day we pray for David Cassidy and family on the death of Carol. We pray for Brian Kwan and Bill Cooper, who are recovering from surgery. And we pray deep in our hearts for those people who are way on our minds. Oh God, touch all those who are bent over and oppressed by crippling spirits, and set free all those who are afflicted by attitudes, opinions, and viewpoints that cause them and others to become bowed down and to suffer needlessly. Create in them the joy that is meant to be the part of the Sabbath day, a day in which we have rest from our labors and celebrate the wholeness that comes from you. All this we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us the following prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And just a reminder before I announce the closing hymn of the book exchange. That's all there. I know most of you I saw was already checking out the tables before worship, but that's there following worship. And we have the author of the new History of the Woodlawn Cemetery coming in with her book a little bit later on, and she will be signing those for you if you wish to be signed, if you wish to have a signed copy. So please make note of all those things. And of course, there's fellowship back there. There's coffee and all kinds of goodies. So do stay for a time of fellowship, and you can look at some books too. Let us now close our worship and as we sing the praise. May God's love be fixed above you. Hymn number 582. Now, as you leave this place, bear the witness of Christ in faithfulness to the Scriptures, in harmony with the Church of all the ages, and in unity with all Christ's people. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.